This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to a very emotional episode of Richard and the Mailman, Do Better Call Saul. It's a tearjerker, guys.
Very emotional.
It broke my boy. It broke my boy. Yeah, so anyway, before we get to that, I'm sure there's other stuff going on in the world that we could... Or we could just jump right into a tale of a father and his son, and right and wrong, and totally killing and shooting people, and vets being shady as fuck.
Wait, vets?
The veterinarian.
Oh, vets, yeah.
Yeah, that vet. I'm not talking about veterans. But...
Well, there are two kinds of veterinarians.
Yeah.
There are female veterinarians who like animals.
True.
And there are male veterinarians who get into animal medicine so that they can be gangster doctors and, like, take care of criminals.
I totally believe it. I picture the guy from Jack Nicholson in The Departed putting a – he's got a guy that he put through, like, veterinary school just to keep as a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually cut that scene out. It was like, there was a scene with Jack Nicholson and the veterinarian. He's like, look, man, you want to help me out? You got to go to the veterinarian school.
That's truth.
I mean, the movie was already like 4 hours, so.
That's something we don't get to see a lot. Well, we get to see, there was like the mob doctor. I think she was a vet, but who knows? That was on for like 5 episodes. Anyway, this is a good show. This episode we watched is better than every second of The Mob Doctor, even when this episode was like, eh. But it was never eh.
Yeah, it's one of the top 10 episodes I've ever seen, not counting Jersey Shore. Like, if you exclude Jersey Shore, entire series, the series, it was up there with, like, Kima Greggs getting shot in The Wire.
Wow, ooh. Yeah.
It's up there with, like, Big Pussy getting killed in The Sopranos. It was really great. What was the best Breaking Bad episode? Probably, like, the third to last one?
Yeah, it was Ozymandias.
Oh, yeah, that one.
I would say that one. I mean, you know, that was like this, though. Well, that was a little bit even more. This episode, literally at the end, I was just like, it had that feeling of like, oh, the time passed. I hit fast forward. I don't even remember doing any of that. I just kept needing to see the next thing.
Yeah.
Because you're like, because it answers so many questions about Mike, obviously. Like, that's the point of it. But you're just like, well, how's this guy who's a cop and seems to have like a moral fortitude of sorts? He's got a code. How did he end up being this criminal guy when he was a cop? Like,
yeah, it had to be some sort of great life event, like, you know, your son being executed.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. His son was executed by other shitty-ass cops.
Yeah.
Jeff, I didn't cry, but...
I almost cried. And it's ironic that you brought up Ozymandias, because the last time I actually cried was when my dog Ozzy died. And I used to call him Ozymandias.
Oh. How did that not come up last time? Did he die in between then?
In between what?
In between, like, us doing that show and then...
No, this is a long time ago.
Oh. Wow. Not a big crier, are you, huh?
No.
You should try it. It's fun.
I have tried, actually. I really think a good cry would help me a lot, but I can't. I'm like a stone-faced psychopath. I just can't cry. Maybe that should be like a challenge for our listeners. Like, they could find a way to make me cry.
I like this.
First one to do it, I'll give him $100.
I feel like you throw money around a lot so far in this. Well, in general.
Yeah, well.
But, and this show already, you've, like, we've got a bet on the terms, which we still haven't. Did we figure out the terms? Did we write this down?
We do. I have it written down somewhere. I can't find it right now, but I do have a problem. I mean, the founder of this website, I won't mention names, but the fantasy football league that I was with him in, I have some outstanding proposition bets that tabulate up into the $500 to $600 range.
Wow.
The sad thing is I never talked to any of these people I'm in the league with, so no one's ever going to get paid.
Well, they will now. Also, another contest we're having on Richer and the Mailman. Make Jeff pay up all his gambling debts.
No, they owe me money.
Put pressure on the people. Oh, they owe you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Look, I pay my debts. All right? I'm not some dirtbag.
Well, if you ever see them, are you going to, like, you know, put the hurting on them to get that money back?
Well, no. Not personally. That's not how gambling addicts do it. They have somebody do it for them. So my friend Andy, perhaps. Maybe I could, like, sick him on these welching bitches.
This is... We're just going to keep adding contests on top of bets. No, I was going to say, I didn't cry, but I do cry, like, more often. I'm more like, I'm made of stone in the way that Mario is made of stone when he can, like, freeze up, you know?
Mario?
Yeah.
Who's Mario?
Super Mario?
Oh, right, Super Mario.
He's of the brothers. What's their last name? Do they have a last name?
Nintendo.
Plumarino? Mario Nintendo. I'm sure that's it. That's probably it. Yay! We thought of that. This episode was really sad, and a part of me was like, is it because Mike is crying? Like,
yeah.
Seeing Mike cry, like, makes it like seeing your dad cry or your grandfather cry.
As if Mike Ehrmantraut couldn't get any cooler.
He cries.
He fucking cries. Like, wow. I never saw that coming. But the reason, this is the great thing about character development and acting, all these years of watching Breaking Bad, the reason why he's such a great character is because all this stuff happened to him, which made him cry, which then made it so that nothing else that happened afterwards he would ever care about or think twice about doing. You see my point?
Yeah, I do.
So it's not like he was just born some kind of steely, stone-faced, macho man psycho. He went through some real shit.
Real shit indeed. And yeah, he is no, like, well, what I was thinking was more that, what if Mike didn't lose his son?
Well, then he'd still be a cop.
That'd be a whole different show.
Right.
Cops Mike's, in Philadelphia.
Mike's son had to die in order for you and I to be talking right now.
Uh-huh. It makes me so happy.
That's the entire basis of the show happening. Or at least the character arc happening.
Shout out to those two guys, you know, getting scared.
I think we should do a midweek podcast. We should do, like, our Better Call Saul podcast, and then a midweek podcast where we talk about, like, philosophy and alternate universes.
Oh.
Like, what if Maddie never got shot? What if Tony's dad had sent Tony away to school instead of making him a mob boss? And we'll just discuss every show that's ever existed.
But from all the different possible ways that it could be.
So all the characters have done something that they have that never actually happened in the show. Because everything that actually happens in the show where you go, why did that happen? Why did they do that? Is because that's why the show is on. What if Rachel Green had married that guy in Friends?
Oh, well, partly the first few seasons would have been a little bit more bearable. I hated the Rachel Green that was attached to that leaving the guy at the altar thing.
Oh, you didn't like the Rachel Green daddy's girl thing?
No, she was like a ditzy airhead. It was,
Rachel was actually never a good character.
The first season, at least. I couldn't stand it the first, like, five episodes, like, at all. I was like, please let her go.
I feel like Jennifer Aniston is the most overrated celebrity ever.
Like, well, she got better. She got better as an actress. But
did
then,
she?
Yeah.
Oh, what, yeah. What's something where you're like, oh, that's a good Jennifer Aniston movie?
I thought of a couple. She's in one that came out now, just recently, a woman that has some sort of disease. But it wasn't the one about what's her name? Girl from Boogie Nights. Oh, damn it.
Julianne Moore?
Well, that she had a movie about, you know, having Alzheimer's, obviously. But then I know that Jennifer Aniston was in another movie that was, like, similar, where a woman has, she gets some disease, and it's, wah, you know? She got good reviews on it, so that's what I'm trying to say. She's a better actress now.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't think she's, like, good at anything, actually. But she's, like, one of the top 20 celebrities of the last 20 years. You could replace her with any soap opera actress, and they could have done the job.
I kind of agree. I kind of agree. And you mean for anything she's done?
Yeah.
Wow.
She was in Office Space. She played a waitress. She was in Bruce Almighty. She played the funny guy in the movie's wife.
She's good at that. She's good at being the straight man.
So being a straight man.
The funny guy's wife who has to kind of.
The funny guy's wife gets you $20 million a movie?
Far be it for me to step in the way of capitalism.
We could do a midweek podcast where you tell why socialism is better than capitalism.
As it applies to Jennifer Aniston's paycheck per movie?
Well,
I'll gladly do that.
That could be like the center of it.
Oh, well, we just planned a nice little talk.
Yeah.
That's good. So stay tuned for that later in the week. So Saul, by my calculation, Saul did not show up for 16 minutes on my recorded television time. I didn't bother checking, like, you know, I don't know how long that is, 12 minutes maybe, 10? But he didn't show up for quite a bit.
That's okay.
That's exactly what I thought.
There are scenes in Breaking Bad where you don't see Walt for a lot.
Really?
Like the Gus Cartel stuff, you know.
That's true. I guess that's a whole nother thing. Did this feel like that kind of episode? The Gus Cartel one?
No, you're right.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. This episode felt different from all the other episodes. This is what, episode 6?
Yeah, episode 6.
So now it's becoming like...
Yeah.
The show is Better Call Saul. Is this a show about Saul? Or is it a show about everything that happens before the situation we were watching in the future happens? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Saul is just a character in the prequel to Walter White. Because that's what it feels like now. Like, this was like a Breaking Bad episode.
Yeah, and which is true. It's like, and they've called, which they called it a spinoff. They've never made it, you know, they've made it pretty, you know, clear that it was a prequel thing. But, yeah, no, this felt like a Breaking Bad episode. This felt, and, you know, it's like we've been saying since the beginning, we're in the universe of these decisions happen and blah, 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 blah. Walter White's lying on a greenhouse.
Right.
You know, a meth lab, whatever that was. Meth lab. So.
It was a meth lab.
Ding. Yeah. It's all right. Well, I'll edit that out. I'll fix it. I'll seem smart instead of stupid. No, I won't. I'll be lazy. Anyway, we do when we see Saul. It's great because we get a trademark Saul scam, or actually, it's a Mike scam, which is even better because you see that Mike is possibly he's ahead of. Like, Saul would never have the balls to do that.
No, he does have the balls to do it. That's why Mike tells him to do it. He just...
That's true.
It's a big character development scene, because yeah. He has the ball. It's not about having the balls. It's about he doesn't think he should. It's about Saul is still a moral character. So, we're at the beginning of this guy, who, when we're first introduced to him, he's totally immoral and depraved. But he got there because of a long situation. He wasn't just born that way. Like, he had scruples at one point. Like, can you imagine Saul from Breaking Bad, when somebody says, spill a coffee on this guy, him going, no, I'm not going to do that. That's wrong.
No, not at all. No.
Exactly.
It's really sad when you think about it. This is all very sad. It's like one life getting ruined after another.
Yes.
And the last point we have in all of it is that Saul is sitting there watching tapes of himself in Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
It ends poorly for everyone, unless Skylar remarried, like she went, she married up.
Skylar could have been okay. Walter Jr. I think this show should have a Walter Jr. segment.
Oh, shit.
Because it's like it's a prequel to Walter Jr. in high school. So they're missing a perfect opportunity to show Walter Jr. in grade school. Like, for 1 minute an episode. Like, why would that be so terrible? Just, like, it could be the cold open every week. Or a mid, like, you just, like, Mike is going to the cafe and he orders his tea. And there's Walter Jr. sitting in the corner eating breakfast. You know, he's 8, but he's still got his crutches. Why can't we see that?
I think because the writers hate us. Although I hope one day we can just see him, like, hobbling along. You know, like, even, like, someone's driving by and they see it. You know, and they kind of, like, for a second, we're like, hey, wait a second. Or maybe he shows up to Omaha and him and Saul join forces and we get the third installment of Breaking Bad. Omaha Styly.
Yeah, like, maybe he says...
And
like
I only am saying that because that's a 311 song, and we're recording this on 311 Day.
Omaha Styly?
Yeah.
That's rich. Is today St. Joseph's Day?
No, that's after St. Patrick's Day.
After St. Patrick's Day.
But, which is... I'm seeing increasing green. And I'm like, is it because it's spring, like people wearing green, or I'm like, or is it because they are like building up to St. Patrick's Day?
Do you remember how Christmas used to be like Christmas, and now it's an entire season, which yeah. I love, but it didn't always used to be like that.
It's been branded as the first half of
winter.
Yeah,
that is what St. Patrick's Day is becoming, because. It turns out that to the general public, getting really, really drunk is, like, the best thing in the world.
So we got, like, every 2 months of that, and then you've got, like, Cinco de Mayo.
Exactly.
And then you've got 4th of July. Oh, my God. And then
yes.
You've got
Labor Day, the holidays, and then you've got... All the holidays that have drinking as their center point are becoming the most popular. St. Patrick's Day, 4th of July, New Year's Eve. The day before Thanksgiving is now even, like, bigger than Thanksgiving. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving is, like, the biggest day of the year now.
Well, Jeff, that's a, you know, that's bigger than Thanksgiving. That's crazy talk. I mean,
it's almost getting,
oh, man.
It's almost getting there. I'm telling you, St. Patrick's Day is going to be the next Christmas. In 50 years, when you and I are old, people aren't even going to know what Christmas is anymore. Christmas is going to be, like, the new... Like, weird, like, it's going to be like Valentine's Day. Like, oh, Christmas, who's Jesus? I don't remember. St. Patrick's Day is coming up, and everyone's going to go St. Patrick's Day shopping. That's how it's going to be.
So we'll be gifting to each other those days?
Yes.
Oh,
We'll that's, be gifting each other really expensive alcohol.
Dude, that's how the holiday graft works. If you're, like, a holiday and you're trying to, like, you know, really become the holiday, first, you need people drinking, okay? So much so that people think about taking the day off from work. Then you get that going, and then it's so easy to introduce sales, clothing that you wear centered around it. You start pumping that, you cards that people give out to each other.
Yes.
And then you get the gifting.
The day after St. Patrick's Day off. Not even St. Patrick's Day. Her whole company gets the day after St. Patrick's Day off.
That's amazing.
That's the beginning. That's the beginning of a revolution in holidays in this country. We're trending. Why is Mother's Day big? Why is Easter, Halloween? Why are these days all big? Why?
Halloween's big because it's chaos.
Because we love candy.
And also, okay. Like, putting on a costume makes people go a little bit more wild than normal.
That's true. It's like the costumes and the sexuality and such. But still, yeah. It's mostly about the candy, okay?
I'm not denying the candy's influence on that holiday. But
and the only thing better than candy is alcohol.
And corned beef and cabbage.
And corned beef and cabbage.
I'm on board, buddy. I'm on board. And I love Christmas ham. I like most foods surrounding, you know, Christmas, but...
We should do a live blog podcast on St. Patrick's Day. We should go to the most debaucherous bar.
Well, we'll have to go separately.
No, we can find it. The most debaucherous bar in Boston, or is it in New York City? And we'll find whatever one it is, and we'll go there, and we'll do a live broadcast.
That sounds great. Well, I'll see if they can pony up. You know, they can the network, the podcast network that we're on.
Wait, we get an advance?
I'm trying to work them. You know, but they're kind of hard to budge. I think our inconsistent output on the show kind of makes us not exactly a sure bet. But, you know.
Our inconsistent output?
Well, you know, we had the show, and then we didn't put it out from November of 2013 until, like, 4 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that's an important point that you bring up. Are we even getting on the website? Because I went to the website, and I searched... like the front page, the blog updates, and the podcast, and I didn't see us anywhere.
Well, I didn't update until today, the last one, because I got lazy, and then I was sick.
Right.
And I had to cook this beef, or it was going to go bad, you know? So that involved a lot of prep work.
Yeah, you don't want bad beef.
No, I paid for that beef.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so it's up. It should be up now. If it's not, then I'll be kind of sad. It means that they're no longer carrying us, which means we have to find a new home.
Well, hell with them then.
I don't know. We'll see if the loyal listeners of Return the Mailman can save us. If you're hearing this. Go on Twitter and tweet, save my mailman.
If you're hearing this and you're not either Richer or the mailman, please tweet at us.
I haven't checked that in a while. The old Twitter.
Yeah, we gotta get on Twitter, man. Crazy stuff happens on there.
That's what St. Patrick's Day would do.
Send me the Richer and the Mailman Twitter info. And well, I will tweet ridiculous stuff.
I think I can probably tell you the password now, and we'd be safe.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to. Because
why wouldn't we want someone to know the password?
You know, then a lot of things can happen, that unsavory things that we
unsavory
don't...
Unsavory is good. We're in the business of unsavory.
I don't know. Anyway, what else can we talk about with Saul that happened on this crazy jam-packed episode?
Well, I don't even know who the guy is playing Mike Ehrmantraut, but is he
Jonathan Banks.
Jonathan Banks. Is he going to win an Emmy next year?
But that's what my first thought was. I'm like, is this the one where he gets it? Or he got nominated for Breaking Bad, but he just never won.
Oh, well, he's definitely going to win for this episode then.
I don't know. Because Mad Men's got their final season. So, you know.
Yeah, but that show's terrible, so.
It's not terrible. It's great.
No, it's terrible.
Mad Men's one of those shows that I absolutely love every episode I watch, but I'll probably never watch those episodes again. Sometimes I've watched some, but...
Mad Men's one of those shows where I've absolutely hated every episode I've watched. And I've absolutely been really mad that the people that make it get a lot of credit for being, like, successful artists.
Maybe you should have jumped to the second season. Or get past the first... How far did you get?
I've watched them sporadically, I don't know, but they're all bad. You know why? Because there are certain timepieces that you can watch, and you can there's a certain suspension of disbelief of authenticity, and there is absolutely none in that show. I guarantee you, there is no truth to that show at all. And I'm not just saying that because I'm 34 years old and I didn't grow up in the 50s. I will go around and I will find people who live in that generation, and they will disprove every fucking thing that ever happened on that show. I will make it my life's work. And John Hamm, not funny.
Well, then we should also, our listeners should also start tweeting, John Hamm can suck it. That can help. That can help our numbers. If we start a Twitter war with John Hamm.
John Hamm's one of these guys. He's in this really boring, lame role on a TV show that everybody loves. Why do they love it? Because they're all assholes. So yes, if you like John Hamm's role in Mad Men, that means you're an asshole. It means you have no personality. It means you're boring. Okay? And then he goes, and because he's so good looking and he has a nice quiff, he goes on all these shows and he does spots like on SNL and commercials and whatever, all these stupid comedy shows, and he's not good at it.
I pretty much disagree with all you're saying.
I'm sure you do.
But then again, I'm an asshole, and so I can't confirm whether or not all of that does add up to asshole because, well, I just am.
Yes, you are. Are you saying that you're not an asshole?
No, I am an asshole.
Okay, so you are an asshole.
But what I'm trying to say is I don't think that applies to everyone who finds John Hamm good. Some of them are just stupid.
You're either stupid or an asshole, or probably both.
I take solace in that. I'm only... There's only one reason that I like John Hamm in Mad Men.
All right.
Or any role that he's been in.
Talk to me like I'm 5 years old. Sum up for me in one or two sentences why Mad Men is a good show.
Okay. How many sentences?
Two max.
It gives a very striking portrait, a story. It tells a story of all the change that happened in the 60s that pretty much led to the life and culture that we have today.
Okay, so the characters that
with
you're
the
watching...
the link on advertising in culture, the country starting to flights to California not being as big as they used to be, the West Coast starting to become a thing, which happens in the later part of Mad Men. There's all the things that are happening in New York at the time and around the country and all that just tumultuousness. And then you see how advertising in these and this is all playing in television and how it's starting to shape people's values, including the main characters of the show.
Television shapes people's values?
No. How all that stuff happening in the 60s is shaping people's... Yeah, television in the 60s totally shapes people's values. It shapes people's values now. Like, what people watch, they kind of soak up. Or they gravitate to things that they like, that they're kind of like, and then... And then it becomes television.
Do you think that there's ever been somebody... Not even like the front man or the top guys. Do you ever think there's ever been somebody working in advertising who is as cool as those guys on that show?
Yeah, at the time. Oh. This is just going to be called us eating now.
Look, somebody puts food in front of me, I'm going to eat it.
And I understand.
What am I supposed to do? Sit here and not eat like an idiot?
Well, that's what I tend to do, but then you're doing it, so I'm like, why not?
Everybody wants to listen to two guys eating.
We're having a bit of a nosh.
You know why? Because that says to them...
While we're talking about Saul Goodman.
These guys really have confidence. They must be worth listening to.
So... Back to Saul Goodman. I don't know. What were we talking about with him at all? Will he win an Emmy? I still say no.
I think he's going to win an Emmy for this episode.
I think he definitely can, but I think it's going to be tough. If he gets nominated as supporting actor, he probably will.
He's not going to get nominated for supporting actor because he was the main actor in this episode.
That's true. That's a good point.
Who else is going to beat him? Matthew McConaughey? Is Matthew McConaughey going to star in a really stupid show?
This year he does it even later in the year.
Is he gonna come out with a show like right before the Emmys come out?
Oh, that'd be great.
And he's like really dark and disturbing, and everyone's like, "Oh my god, you see Matthew McConaughey in that show?"
We're gonna be saying that about Colin Farrell next year when they come out with True Detective 2.
I like Colin Farrell in Bruges.
Oh, he's great in that, but he's generally seen as kind of a douche.
Yeah, he's pretty douchey.
Yeah. And he kind of sucks a little bit. Woody Harrelson what?
Is Woody Harrelson not a douche?
No, he is.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Think about Mike, or the guy who plays him. What's his name? Banks?
Jonathan Banks.
He's such a cool-looking guy. Like, you can totally believe all this, like, crazy... He's been a cop for 30 years, and he took money, and then his son got killed, and then he killed a couple of cops because the cops killed him, and then he worked for this guy who's, like, a meth dealer, and he did all these crazy hits, and he's so talented, and he has so much experience that he can take out, like, 7 guys at once, which, by the way, is impossible. And then he can take out, like a cartel just with, a bottle of poison. You can totally, like, buy that. But all I can find myself doing is looking at him and being like, dude, why don't you get a nose job? You check out this guy's nose. He has this giant nose that looks like it's been broken, like, 4 times. And it's so off to the right that it's, like, in front of his right eye.
Because he's sending all the money for Kaylee. Kaylee? He's not using that money for nose job. That's money he'd be given for his granddaughter.
Right.
He's so one-dimensional. God, Mike sucks. Worst character. By far.
Am I the only one?
It was better Jesse's mom, all right?
Jesse's mom was pretty cool.
All right, we should cut to a break, and then we'll come back, and, we'll wrap things up with Saul and just,
coast into the sunset?
Coast into the sunset to that moment where we go, well, bye, I guess.
Yeah.
So, we'll be right back after this break for all of the amazing things on placetobenation.com. Your home for entertainment and pop culture and in the whole world. I think that was right.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from PlaceToBeNation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pav. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Killer, better you than me. Killer, fuck with brutality.
Welcome back, Connor. Just felt right this time. I had to embrace it. So, Jeff...
It's not fair that you don't appreciate wanting to use the Mace song as our open, but you do that stupid show thing. Like, this kind of hurts me.
I know. I'm sorry. I just don't like Mace. I hate his stupid face. I just did a rhyme that could be...
Nope, you missed it.
Yeah, I know. Well, you give me a minute. That's how long it takes him to write his rhymes. Whatever, though. What'd you do on the break this time while that was playing?
Well, my sister, I don't know if you knew this, but she has just recently gotten into kickboxing.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Is she Fitbitting and that turned into kickboxing?
Well, I don't know what Fitbitting is.
It's a thing that people are doing. It has to do with fitness. I don't know. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, so she was like, hey, I think I'm going to go to kickboxing tonight. And I was like, well, I got my podcast, but maybe I can do it during the break. And she's like, well, what time do you think that'll be? And I was like, I don't know, sometime around 10 Eastern time. And she's like, that's perfect, because that's when I was going to go. So I was like, sure, I'll go to kickboxing with you. So, you know, we go on break. I'm like, all right, I'm ready. We go out, and the car doesn't start.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah, the car would not start.
How long do you have to get? Wow, you got like no time to get there.
It's like 7 minutes away, and the class starts in 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So I got to figure out a way to get the car running in 3 minutes. So I was like, well, you know what we should do? We should just run there, because then all our endorphins will be like going and stuff. We can run there, do some kickboxing, run back, and then I'm all worked up for my podcast, and that'll be better. So we start running, and we got halfway there, and we realize it's already been 15 minutes. So we already missed the class. The very class that we were running to try to get to.
So then you had to, like, what, catch a cab back?
Yeah, we just called the taxi and came back.
Ah.
But you know what? It was a pretty good run. I'm feeling very good right now.
That sounds it. Yeah, that's invigorating. Disappointing, though. I really wanted you to make that class. I was that involved.
Yeah, it would have been my first kickboxing class ever.
Yeah. I mean,
excited for it.
Well, you know, it becomes a drug after that. Everybody that I know that does it, they're just, like, all about it.
Because as far as I know, you're not kicking or boxing anybody.
You're hitting pads.
Yeah, you're just kickboxing.
Yeah. You're moving your limbs and moving around and strengthening your core and doing stuff.
Yeah, I think it would be a much more exciting workout if people could kick and box each other.
Well, some people, they build up to that. And then they're doing jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu, huh?
Yeah, that's where you try to, like, get people to submit.
Are you one of those people that know all the different martial art names and how they're different from each other? To me, it's just all karate.
It's all karate. No, I do know the differences. Like, well, kind of. Like, I know that the differences has to do with the region that they're from, mostly. I took karate.
You took karate?
Well, I took taekwondo.
The taekwondo is karate?
Well, it's martial art from Korea.
See, now I'm confused.
There's so much Korean flags around. It was crazy.
Wait, North Korean?
No, South Korean. North Korean, like, doesn't exist to anyone. It literally doesn't exist to anyone at all until Dennis Rodman. Like, only when they say crazy stuff. And then Dennis Rodman went there in Vice, and that was, like, kind of brought him back.
What's going on in North Korea and South Korea? Is it, like, USA and Mexico, where people from North Korea are trying to sneak into the South Korean border?
But yeah. Oh, yeah, that definitely happens.
Really?
Yeah. You should see it on Vice. Guys, this isn't an ad for Vice, but you should be watching Vice.
Is Vice like Cops, only with drugs?
No, it's like they tackle a different story every week, like people that sneak other from people from North Korea into South Korea, or about they'll do one about like global warming, or so, about war zones, like actual war zones.
So people in North Korea don't want to live there. Is that what we're agreeing on?
That yes.
So it's like people from Cuba want to leave Cuba, people from Mexico want to leave Mexico, people from North Korea want to leave North Korea.
Yeah.
So if they want to leave, shouldn't we just be able to invade them?
Well, that's the funny thing about the USA, is we won't actually invade people until we've done enough to their country to warrant us to invade them, like where they're a bad thing, and we got to invade them for that.
Right.
Like, we should, but the thing is, and the people in Mexico actually know, because they're just like Americans here, where they want to preserve their nation.
Mm.
So, you know, they don't want that to happen, but a lot of people are like, this place sucks and it won't be any good in my whole lifetime, so time to get the fuck out of here, you know?
Yeah, well, see, I'm very open-minded when it comes to governmental systems. So if you could say, hey, you know what, North Koreans, they're killing people, but most of their people are pretty happy, I'd be like, all right then, just leave the North Koreans alone. But if everyone's trying to leave North Korea for South Korea and just, like, be a figure skater.
No, no.
Then I'm, you know what, screw it.
There's like a collective delusional, like, insanity that's there. It's just like, people actually do think that they're happy. But it's because they're just, like, they've grown up in it.
That's exactly what people said about the Germans during the Nazi times.
Yeah, but the thing is, North Korea isn't invading anyone next to them. Cuba isn't invading anyone. They're not even affecting anyone in their region. You know what I mean?
So
they're
not
influencing anyone. They're just like,
you think that we should not help people in North Korea who aren't happy? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they have like a nuclear bomb probably. So no, we cannot invade North Korea. They're always going to be insane.
How many nuclear bombs could they have that would really give us a trouble?
Probably none that would give us any trouble. Maybe Hawaii.
They could bomb Hawaii?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's now that the precedent has been set, I'm pretty sure that's the...
Do you think that...
That's the target there.
Do you think that the movie The Watchmen, where a nuclear bomb is set off at the end of the movie in order so that the human race can come together and fix itself, is a prelude to reality? Do you think that's a situation where somebody already knows that's what's going to happen?
Nope.
And we need nuclear war to bring us all together.
Well, you know what? Kind of. I mean, only... We kind of have it with, like, I feel like with the environment. And if we, even half of, like, the dire predictions that they give are true, that's going to be really bad for a lot of people. Because a lot of people live near the coastlines, you know, and then a lot of people also live in the areas where it's going to get so dry that nothing will grow where it used to not be that way. And they're not, you know, so, yeah.
I'm not worried about the environment because I think people are going to learn how to grow stuff in arid.
For all of this to happen, though, and for it to not be chaos where people are like just, it gets worse in the country, there needs to be cooperation. So I feel that we can get there without a nuclear bomb. But if that's the only thing, then
don't you feel
what you got to do, man?
Don't you feel like if a nuclear bomb
next version of the Matrix, you know?
Don't you feel like if a nuclear bomb was dropped on like a major Muslim radical culture, it would be a good thing?
No, especially after what happened last week on this show. I do not. Never in a million years. Actually, I think the opposite. I think the opposite, Jeff.
Did you get some negative feedback from last week's show? Is that what's happening?
I'm just saying there have been rumblings.
Rumblings from whom?
You know, I'm just getting these weird cryptic messages.
Oh.
You know? Okay. Yeah, you know, it's a thing. I'll talk to you later about it.
Stay tuned.
Anyway, Jeff, back to Saul.
Back to Saul.
All right, so, I mean, the one time we got to see him this week that I really loved, the thing that I loved about seeing him besides, you know, the old Juan Valdez bump and dump there, is seeing him still got the suit going on, because he's still pulling the whole elder law thing that he got last week after the girl with the those figures, the
Hummel.
Yeah, the Hummels. The Hummel. Yeah. Yeah. So since then, and then we have him on the bottom of the Jell-O being all like weird and creepy watching you eat your Jell-O like Bill Cosby. We got him in his white suit, and then when the cops see him first, like right off the bat, and they're tell him that he looks like Matlock, which he does. And his response is a young Paul Newman playing Matlock.
I look like a young Paul Newman. I'm just dressed as Matlock.
Yes. It was great because it added a nice little layer there.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff. Hold on.
Hey, Axel. Axel's in the house.
Yeah, hold on.
Axel's like, ready. I don't like when he dresses like Matlock.
Okay, ready? Let me hit. We're still going. Okay, cool. I'll have to cut that. Remember that.
Log in, man.
Okay. So, Jeff, what else happened in the world besides Mike Urban Trout crying and just becoming cool and sad at the same time? Cooler and sadder.
Well, as you know, this was the beginning of the NFL free agent period.
I knew it was coming up. You never can forget when you
and as you may or may not know, here at Return the Mailman, we are Patriots fans, aka world champion New England Patriots fans.
I don't support cheaters, so.
So you don't support anybody.
That's right,
including yourself.
I don't cheat.
You don't cheat.
I cheated on a girl once.
Well, there you go.
But ever since then, I have not cheated.
But you're a cheater.
No.
Yes. And we could go back and record the segment of what you just said, which proves that you were. So anyway, moving on.
Okay.
The world champion of women Patriots did not sign a particular cornerback named Darrelle Revis. And everybody seems to be upset about it. And my take on the whole thing is, what the fuck is everybody so upset about? Doesn't anybody understand that this was bound to happen from the beginning? That the plan is working out perfectly? That if you could go back in time to before Revis was even signed, Bill Belichick would have said, okay, look, this guy, he is kind of unflexible right now. Maybe we can sign him to a one-year deal with a one-year option for like a lot of money. We'll make the second year kind of ridiculous. We'll get him for one season. Then he's going to play great. He's going to shore up our defense. I'm liking where our offense is going. We can win the Super Bowl, not pick up his second year. Then if everybody else in the league realizes, because they're intelligent businessmen, that the guy is almost 30 years old, nobody approaches the kind of money that we have. We have to spend a lot of money because we're way under the cap, and we're going to have to pay a penalty to the NFL if we don't. So we're going to sign him for a couple years at a reasonable rate for cornerback. Maybe he'll play really good next year. If not, okay, whoever gives him the ridiculous sums of money can go ahead and do it. And we'll go out and we'll use all that extra Revis money on somebody else who is probably really awesome, like Percy Harvin or Reggie Bush or whatever. We'll trade for draft picks. We'll draft a bunch of really good guys. We still are going to have – everybody's talking about, oh, the defense – if they lose Revis, they're not going to win the Super Bowl because the defense, defense, defense. It's not like they had that many close games. They had this really great offense all season. I don't know if anybody remembers that. The Super Bowl MVP was not on the defense. The Super Bowl MVP was a little man named Tom Brady. Okay? So the Jets come out, and the fucking owner is tweeting and talking to everybody like a moron, like actually getting publicized to the point where he could probably be fined or cost his team draft picks for tampering. that he really wants this guy. And now we're complaining that the team didn't spend enough money, $4 million gap, to get the guy back to the Jets. But the Jets would have spent even more money. You see what I'm saying? The Jets wanted him. The Jets were going to get him because that's what they wanted to do. The Patriots were never going to get him because the Patriots are not a stupid team. The Jets are a stupid, stupid team. And everybody is saying, everybody in the AFC East is getting too many good players. The Patriots are going to have the worst defense, yada, yada, yada. I want to say right now, how many quarterbacks have ever repeated as Super Bowl champions twice?
Seven? Eight?
No, zero.
Oh.
Seven, eight? What are you talking about? Back-to-back championships.
Oh, you said back-to-back?
Repeated.
I'm just playing the guy here.
You're playing what guy?
I don't know, the rhetorical guy.
Fine.
I assume you wanted me to say one? Tom Brady? Is Tom Brady the answer?
Darrelle Revis is going to go to New York next year. And, hey, remember that time that he came to the Patriots last year and won the Super Bowl? That was awesome. Anyway, he's going to go to the New York Jets next year. He's probably going to get hurt. If he doesn't get hurt, he's going to have an average season. The Jets are going to suck. I don't care about the defense. They can play the Patriots. They'll lose 10-7. I don't care. The Patriots are going to win next year. Tom Brady's going to get his fifth Super Bowl. Repeat as champion again. Not even retire. He's going to get a sixth Super Bowl. Okay, so everybody needs to just shut the fuck up about this whole Darrelle Revis situation. Because you're all morons. And when people start talking, like, they are actually... This is my least favorite thing about sports. This is why I don't even want to be a sports fan anymore. It's easy to watch the guys play in the field and say, this guy's good or this guy sucks. That's all we should be doing as fans, right?
I agree.
You watch a guy play and you say, he sucks or he's good. And that's it. But now what everyone's doing is just saying, I cannot believe that this guy didn't pay this guy the extra $4 million. Like, dude, what the fuck do you have to do with the millions of dollars that people are spending?
Well, that's where I don't get it. That's where it all started to break apart for me when I went, basically what sports is rooting for competing brands of marketing and how they spend their money. I'm like, once you start worrying about how people spend their money, and it's real money that they're spending, when you start getting involved in that and that's what you're like obsessing about, you're just now obsessed with business.
Yes,
you're not
it's terrible.
Obsessed with sports. You're not
nobody,
obsessed with the actual
nobody
game.
Nobody should care at all about what Darrelle Revis does in terms of signing a contract. And nobody should care at all about what Bill Belichick does in terms of building his team or what Robert Kraft does in terms of signing his paychecks. Nobody should care about that at all. And I'm sick of it. It's embarrassing. It makes us all look bad. Okay? You can't go out and say, I like sports, without looking like a total retard when you start talking like this.
But the thing is, that's the blame, you know, blame the sports media that causes that. Because the only reason people are talking about that is because that's what the sports media is talking about. And people that are obsessed with sports or really into watching it, you know, to the point where they want to hear it all the time, they need stuff to talk about. So now it's all that. And then fantasy baseball has now come in where people think they're, like, experts, essentially.
Fantasy baseball is tough, man.
I mean, fantasy football, whatever. Yeah, fantasy sports in general. You know, like, people think they're experts. So they want to talk shop. Shop. Talking shop.
Yeah, that's really rare, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. But also that could have been talking shop.
But anyway, Darrelle Revis is a Jet, and I don't care because the Jets are weird.
Neither do I! Yay!
And the Jets are, like, evil. And if he wants to be on the Jets, then I don't even want... Like, it was kind of fun that he was on our team for a year, but he's not a real... He looks good in green. He looks good in the stupid green and white helmet. Like, fine. I don't care. Like, they have stupid uniforms, they have stupid players, they have stupid fans, they have a stupid name. Ooh, we're the Jets. We're like airplanes, only a specific kind of airplane.
Yeah, that I never got. That's always weird.
What is a jet, anyway? Can someone explain to me what a jet is? I don't know.
Somebody,
And why are they green? I've never seen a green jet.
First one to tweet
if
at us.
If I was going to be the jet, I would have like some silver in there, like some bluish kind of thing. I would be like a tough badass color, like a black. What is a green jet? They look stupid. They're a stupid looking team. They look like a high school team. They look like our Hendrickson team with our stupid gold helmets. Yeah. Oh, look, we're watching the New York Jets, except we're not. It's a high school game. So
well,
congratulations.
From what I heard last season, it was like a high school game.
Ha ha!
I don't know. They did bad, right? Was that the Giants?
They both did bad.
Oh, well, yeah.
But also, here's another thing.
Yeah, for New York.
The Eagles traded Nick Foles to the Rams for Sam Bradford. When was the last time you saw a straight-up quarterback trade?
1952. And then also 1977 twice.
Oh, okay. Very specific of you.
I'm trying to get those answers in. Are those wrong?
I have never seen one.
Oh.
Like, if you have a quarterback and I have a quarterback, why would you want to take my quarterback if I think he sucks enough to trade? And why would I want your quarterback if you think he sucks enough? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a weird thing.
They're like, maybe we just like that guy a little bit better.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we like that guy a little bit better. It is weird. You're right. It's very weird. Anyway. So that's sports, huh?
Yeah, that's sports.
So that's what I have to look forward to for the next, like, how long? Until when's the draft?
April.
Ugh. That's the shit that, like, you just go, why is this even happening? Last year, I passed it. I walked past it, going to work for that, like, span.
Like, did you stop in and make a scene?
No, I just walked by on the other side, but on the road. But I was like, oh, there's people lined up. Like crazy, and it's just a sea of men with pot bellies wearing jerseys.
Yeah,
that's
well,
all.
You should try to get into one of the top 10 picks, Entourage. Get some ass.
What is that? Oh, you mean the entourage of those guys?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that'll work, but
I was always getting arrested at the draft for raping girls.
Wow.
So if you just like hang out.
And then I can like, you know, after it happens, I can comfort them and be like, he's always like this. I understand.
No. You don't want to deal with those girls. You want to deal with, like, their friends, you know?
Oh.
The ones who weren't hot enough to have sex with the athlete.
You mean, and by sex, you mean the R word.
Right. Quote unquote.
We don't want to say it here because it's too much.
All I know is that if I'm walking by the NFL draft, I'm not just walking by. Going in there because some cool stuff's going to happen.
It's not like they could let me in, though. It was...
You got to talk your way in, man.
No, they looked like those guys were just, you know, they were security and ushers and just event staff. You know? Yeah. Jeff... I don't know if you know, but the second Avengers is coming out.
What's that? The superheroes?
That's the superheroes. The very specific superheroes.
Yeah.
The Marvel ones with Iron Man. And I've just caught a little bit of it tonight. And it's when Iron Man flies up and he like with the nuclear bomb there, the missile. And he throws it up into like into space or the other dimension, and then he just like leaves it there, and then he falls and he comes back, and I'm like, oh, I'm so glad that Iron Man's the one that got to be the hero. And then I remember that they eat shawarma at the end, so then they eat shawarma, and then I see them eating shawarma, and then the biggest takeaway I have from that movie every single time is, I really want to have shawarma.
You've had shawarma.
No, but I want to have it, like, then.
Oh, when you see it.
Yeah, every time.
Why don't you just learn how to make your own?
Actually, Sean did. Sean made it a couple weeks ago. Last week? It's very good. We got nail the white sauce, but, you know. I'm pretty sure that's from dudes jacking it off in there, because...
So the ladies will like it.
Yeah. Anyway, now that we went there, I don't know. I think we're pretty good. It's a quick one this week.
Yeah.
So we'll be back next week to talk about probably a more lighthearted Saul with more of the old ho-ho wisecracking ho-ho type of, you know, shtick that we've grown to love. Although now Mike's a guy now. It's like he immediately went from, like, the booth to the... Now he's...
Yeah, they got there quick.
And Saul knows how much of a guy he is, you know? How, like...
If your son was a cop and his partners killed him,
yeah,
would you kill them?
It's a good question. Possibly.
I think that's the question that the show is posing to all of us. I think that's why I was so emotional. Because is it that we all want to be like this guy? Are we all identify with him? Or is it because we know that we wouldn't do what he would be willing to do to totally destroy his entire character? It's very sad, isn't it?
Well, we'll leave it on that emotional note. I'll play something pensive, don't worry.
Yeah, maybe play some, like, Mace.
Slightly more pensive, but...
Okay.
So, I'm Josh Richer. Find me on Twitter. Just put in any variation of those words and with the at in front, and he's a Mashadush. And you can also find the podcast also and Place to Be Nation, and you can go on Facebook, do all those things, and follow the old brand. So until next week, see ya, and let's all just be mopey over our dead children.
Maddie wasn't dirty.
That would suck if someone actually had a dead child and was listening to this. I'm an asshole. Oh well.
You can't live your life like that, man.
Wait, it's all in front of the people. Grab this, man. You just be siphoning knowledge.
Can come straight undone. I found some nuts on words from so far. It's so good. Any day, what you think is solid earth can jump up and spread out to the north and south. That's what plates are about. Nature has no conscience, no kindness or ill will. But the dreams they had make me sad, because of advice of them. When we'll go jump the fire in hers, and then it happened to me and my family. My horse and I were driving the orb, be bleeding flames, sleeping through fire, surviving. So we go home, there was fire. We're coming in here, we're coming in here, we're coming in, now we will. One, two, tell the old world what's the deal. And I said, no, no critical border, cause we do what we want. Come on, funky styles, the Malaysian check our fun. Now one, two, the old world sounding like the norm. Let me do the radio, all that shit is gone. Basement, the blood was low key, and the records were Jamaican blood.
guns, and if you took it, I wouldn't doubt that you are gifted. After breaking dawn, behaving like a spy, vamping in the light, the cold world awakens. Deeper is the light to open up a sky. Look into my eyes and see the dilating. All my styling is the shit we come with, man. Embedded in our souls, a breeze out from this world.
Keeping it the best.